was all night.
All night. I was
ripping lines of stupid pills.
I was crushing them up and I mixed it with some other stuff. I don't know. I mixed it with some negligence files. And all right. I think we're good now.
Okay.
Give me a little bit.
Hey, hey, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hey, it seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV. 1, 2.
Yeah, you got that quahog in. Do it again.
Welcome.
Hell yeah.
We're snapping. We're in time. We're in the same room. We're feeling good. Welcome to
Antwin Peaks.
Something I never thought about.
What?
That song?
Uh-huh.
That intro music? I bet Thanos would love that song.
Just blinking people in and out of existence.
Yeah. That little... That's a car reappearing in the universe.
Have you ever thought maybe Thanos was right?
In sort of like a sick, twisted... Sort of dark way, yeah, kind of.
Kind of,
sort
right?
Sort of like a dark purple way, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of like a deep purple way.
Yeah, he's a big purple guy.
He is, with a big, like, sort of scrotumy chin.
Yeah, craggier than, like, a cold scrotum.
Yeah, yes, yes, tightened up.
That's right. Titan, T-I-T-A-N, right? He's a bit of a mad titan himself.
And that's the kind of stuff you're going to hear on Antwin Peaks.
Yeah, we're kind of nerds. We're kind of into some of that nerd culture.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I not be a nerd?
Can you try letting people enjoy things? Could you let people enjoy things? The answer is no. I know you're on a big not being mean about stuff kick.
Me.
Yeah. You're trying to be more... Cooper-esque, I suppose.
I am trying to be more Cooper-esque. It's really only for my own sanity because everything else in the world is so bad that I'm actively seeking things that I like. And if I feel like Dune 2, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's not like it's a big spectacle movie and I enjoyed myself at the cinema. I saw it in IMAX. So I was like, I'm on Arrakis. I love it. Right. But I know, like, people are like, this movie kind of sucks, and I can't argue with them.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, like, I just wanted to have a fun time at the movies.
Those are two different metrics, right? Like, this sucks versus I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This is what we talk about when we talk about the Letterboxd reviews. It's like something can get 2 stars and get the like.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. So, I'm just trying to find more things that I enjoy, and then, like, the things that, like, maybe I wouldn't enjoy, see if there's anything in there that I enjoy, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
Again, it's only for my own sanity because the world is awful, and if I sink into that, it's all over for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm also trying to be more Cooper-esque, Cooper-like, Gary Cooper. Visual joke.
Strong silence.
Yeah, I made a hushing sound and also flexed my bicep. Strong silent type.
Whatever happened to the Gary Coopers?
What happened to the Gary Coopers?
I love when Tony Soprano, several times throughout the series, like, whatever happened to the Gary Cooper types?
Strong Gary silent. Cooper, homosexual? Is that right?
Rock Hudson.
Rock Hudson. Maybe that's who I'm thinking
I don't
of.
Know about Gary Cooper.
Okay.
And, fuck. Who's the other guy? His Girl Friday.
I've never seen... I don't even know what that is. You're not talking about Tony Perkins, are you?
No. Cary Grant.
Cary Grant?
Cary Grant.
I didn't know that.
Well, he may have been, like, bisexual. Mm. There's, like, rumors of that. Also, like, Cary Grant, who was, like... big like star in the 40s, like, you know, of that era, like got into heavy into like LSD and shit.
Pretty
and,
sick. Like,
really fucking blew out his mind and expanded his consciousness like towards the end of his life. So that's pretty cool
too. That is cool. Yeah. Huh. Well, what do you know about that?
Yeah.
But we're not necessarily talking about, we're talking about different man in suit with perfectly coiffed hair.
Yeah.
Named Cooper.
Yeah.
Not particularly strong, certainly not silent.
No.
And definitively attracted to beautiful women.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, David Lynch, another guy who is,
man,
perfectly coiffed hair and
yeah, really not silent.
No, the opposite.
Quite not silent. Yeah, him writing himself a little
smooch with Major.
Yeah.
So
two actually.
Do they ever actually touch lips?
That's a good question.
Because it looks like they do, maybe, but it is from like a kind of a over the shoulder angle from both sides.
Yeah.
And it's never a even two shot. I don't know.
Maybe
if
not.
They actually do it.
Yeah.
He
does say, get used to it, Junior, because it's going to happen again or something.
Yeah. Well, that's really funny, though.
That is funny. Yeah. I don't know. That's
because the first time I watched the series, I kind of felt the same thing. I'm like, look at this fucking guy. He's running the show here, and he's like, maybe Cole kisses Shelley.
He probably does, right? We all agree.
He probably should.
We all agree. The audience is expecting it. He's writing fake fan mail.
Yeah. Just letters all day. Just like, why hasn't Cole kissed Shelley yet? Cole is an attractive older man. She would be attracted to him.
P.S. The narrative structure of this show should be Mobius strips instead.
That's all really good. Led me down a rabbit hole of looking into Mae Namik's personal life. What is she ever married? Whatever?
She's single.
What's her deal?
Yeah. Rob's trying to find out if he can bag Amick.
I can't bag Amick. Mm. She has been married since 1995.
Wow.
To the same man. I had him up before. He's a musician. I can't remember. David Alexis, I want to say is his name. Mm. But they met in 1987, got married in 1995, and been together ever since. They have two kids together, and he writes and dedicates songs to her all the time.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
She's very beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Do you think maybe you're just the man to put an end to all this nonsense? What if you wrote a better song? If you Salieri style went insane trying to write a song to win Mae Namik's heart.
I deep dive into David Alex's music and try and cut it apart and
Or you simply write diss tracks about him.
Maybe I'll write
diss tracks about him. Kiss tracks about her. A two-pronged approach. A pincer movement.
Oh, a temporal pincer movement?
Yeah.
That's another one. I would love to talk about that movie because it's impossible.
I haven't seen it. I have no interest in seeing it.
Oh, no.
I don't like Christopher Nolan.
No, I totally... Again, this is another one where I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you. You should watch it because visually it looks good.
Yeah.
It's all gobbledygook.
Sure.
Though. The first half hour, you're like, okay, I think I understand this, forwards, backwards nonsense. And then after that, it just sort of spirals out and you're like, I am lost.
Okay. All right. I can.
But just
I don't think
go
I'd
along
mind
for the ride.
Just having my brain sort of scrambled a little bit.
I gotta tell you, I watched the movie just for the visuals and kind of the brain scrambling of it. I'm like, I know I'm not gonna, figure this out, and that's totally fine with me.
I did see an interview with him recently where he was like, you're actually not supposed to figure my movies out. And it's feels like a little Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yeah,
I meant to do that.
Yes.
You meant to be bad at this.
I have tried to figure it out, and I think that there are massive holes in it.
Yeah.
Which I imagine occurs when you're dealing with forwards, backwards,
right.
time nonsense.
Yeah. But then it's
But it's also fine. You know, sure. It's sort of like explained away in like, oh, they're running a temporal pincer movement. Oh, of course. We all know what that is. No further explanation needed.
I do think like what makes me think it's bullshit on his part is like, right, you chart it. It's like Memento is like there's a logic to it. There's a pretty followable logic.
Yes.
And then Inception, same sort of thing. Maybe you're getting a little in the weeds here.
Yeah.
But it's just like he keeps trying to like, I don't know about one-up himself, but he's like, what? Ah, I got to come up with a new crazy idea.
Yeah, it does feel like he is trying to come up with just like.
So actually, Christopher Nolan, you're a con artist and a fraud.
But that's fine. I want filmmakers to be.
I agree.
P.T. Barnum's, you know, where they're like a sucker's born every minute. Like, yeah. Show me something I haven't seen.
Make a sucker out of me. Yeah.
100%.
This is like what before we started talking. I mean, recording.
Yeah.
We were talking.
We were talking. Before we started talking, we were just staring at each other.
I'm so glad you spoke up. We were talking about the difference between like a charming actor and a charismatic one, like
right.
Basically, like the comp was Schwarzenegger, charismatic; Jason Momoa, simply charming.
Right.
And I do think it's just like a playing it safe kind of thing. It's like an economic hedge, right? Like no one, it's just you can't take. No one can afford to take chances anymore.
You can't
really, unless you're Christopher Nolan, basically.
Right. You have to be at that level.
You have to be anointed.
Right.
And
you have to be a director that people go to your movie because you're the director.
Yeah.
Scorsese, I don't even know, like, I don't know how much power any of these people actually have, but, like, you go to see a Scorsese movie or, like, Tarantino's another one. It's like an event.
Right.
Right. But then, like, there's so many.
Fewer and fewer of those, right? Yeah. It's like the pipeline. Marvel did kind of, like, divert the pipeline of, like, interesting up and coming filmmakers. And it's like.
Ruin them?
Yeah. Basically,
they're like, I got this whole like farm team that I'm pulling from.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I'm going to give you too much money and I'm going to set you up to fail.
Yeah.
How you like that?
How's that?
How about I bury you? And
yeah.
Fucking...
And by the end of this experience, you're just going to want to wallow in that money anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even like Greta Gerwig is kind of going that way, too. Right. It's like what? Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. She's done the Barbie movie and now she's doing Narnia.
Oh, is she?
She's Greta Gerwig's Narnia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Noah Baumbach also help, you know, are they collaborating? Are they writing it together?
I don't actually know.
Yeah.
Cause like, you gotta hope not though. Cause Noah Baumbach has no business writing a Narnia adaptation.
Do you like Noah Baumbach? He seems like the kind of guy that you would hate.
I'm not super familiar, so I can't judge. Yeah. All right. I won't judge.
You never watched like Squid and the Whale or
No, in fact, that's the kind of thing where I see the name, I'm like, I'm not watching a movie named after a gift shop in a gentrified neighborhood. Squid and Whale. I can buy a pencil for $15 here. That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen The Squid and the Whale.
Mm-hmm. I'm
trying to think if there's any Noah Baumbach movie I have seen, in fact.
Let's see. Greenberg. I mean, Marriage Story.
I haven't seen Marriage Story.
As a
child of divorce, that's actually really hard for me, too.
As a husband of divorce.
An adult of divorce.
I watched Marriage Story in the in-between phase of, like, having agreed to separate and having not moved out quite yet.
Crap, yeah.
Which was...
Good for you?
This real sweet spot of, why did I do this to myself?
Yeah. You shouldn't have done that. That's when you should have been watching Conan the Barbarian.
I know. You know what? Sometimes, like... I don't know if I'm sure other people do this, but like I'll have like a sad or depressed sort of feeling and I will want to experience other sad and depressed things, music or movies or whatever.
Yeah.
Sort of as like an emotional enema to get it out.
That's interesting. Just sort of like flood it.
Yeah.
You know, like break the, you know, like crank the sensor so that you can't even
totally
like feel it. It's also like, I mean, I think also what's happening is like, this is still Twin Peaks.
Yeah, yeah, we're still talking Peaks.
But I do think there's like an element of like they're articulating how you feel.
Yeah.
And also then dramatizing it so yes. that you feel insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just maxing you out.
Right.
You're sad maxing.
Yeah, yeah.
As they
yeah,
say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Marriage Story is a good movie, though. Mm. And I like how it does capture like sort of the this weird sort of so many movies about like divorce or whatever. It's like, oh, I hate this person and whatever. And there are scenes of that, but then there are also scenes where they're like very like sweet to each other.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's kind of how it is. It's yeah. just like, ah, this like.
That's what makes life so goddamn hard, isn't it? It's yes. never so cut and dry. It's just like, I hate you.
Right. Which I think is like a problem with other people who do think in black and white terms, right? Republicans, I call them. Where they're like, no, everything is either, you know, this way or that way. And you're like, nothing is that way.
Yeah.
Literally nothing in the world is that way.
I heard something very interesting on a podcast, if you can believe that.
What?
Right. They were talking about like German culture, right?
Okay.
Like, and they were like, Germans love rules, but only making other people follow them. And I was like, that's a bigger that may be true.
Yeah.
But also, like, I know so many people like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. They're like,
I think that's just a human
tendency.
I
think it's an easy default mm-hmm. to fall into is like, oh, well, we have these rules that everybody has to follow. I don't have to follow them because, like, I know them.
Right.
And, like, I know the way around.
I invented
them.
The rule, so
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm living it.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah.
All right. Maybe sometimes I will, but, you know, I'll do what I want.
Right.
But you can't do what you
yeah.
want. All right. You have to follow the rules. It is insanity. Speaking of insanity.
You, what, that frickin', what's his name?
Yeah, that Wyndham Earle character.
That Wyndham Earle.
Or the.
Or call him Caleb Wendt.
What about Ted Raimi?
Yeah, right? Didn't even realize that was him until you said it, but that's him.
That's him.
Fantastic Mr. Fox, I have seen. Also.
He wrote it,
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Also, though. That movie came out in 2009.
Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Isn't that fucked up?
No.
That's what it said on Wikipedia.
Oh, no,
that's
Dan.
That's what it said on Wikipedia.
Time comes for us all.
Oh, I know.
That is the kind of, yeah.
We should have the Grim Reaper on as a guest.
Like my letterbox, right? I log all the movies that because I like to keep track of what I've seen and whatever, right? Going back and like looking at something, I'm like, oh yeah, when was the last time I watched whatever? And you go back and I'm like, I remember sitting there watching that. When was that? Oh, that was 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's fucked up. When I was in college, yeah. which I guess was 15 years ago.
Oof.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
And
it's bad.
I didn't care for that one bit. Yeah. I should go back to college so I can be like, when I was in college, now.
Yeah. You do like a back to school thing.
Yeah. Everyone loved that guy.
Yeah. I'm sure. I have no idea how old Rodney Dangerfield was in that movie. Probably 35.
Yeah.
Looked like holy hell.
Yeah. All right, well, this is just another instance of him getting no respect.
I mean, he called
I'll tell
it.
You what, I put on a podcast the other day.
They said I looked 35.
This
but bad.
This is not my best joke.
All right. You want to
we should get sued by the Dangerfield estate for doing Rodney AI special.
Oh.
It'd be a good bonus episode.
Yeah. When can we do that? Like, when is it going to be at the point where you're like, AI, make a new Rodney Dangerfield special?
Well, they tried it with George Carlin. Did you hear about that?
No. Are you?
No, I'm not.
Is this a setup?
Will Sasso got a cease and desist from the George Carlin estate.
Yeah.
for making a George Carlin AI special. And as with all things AI, it turned out to mostly or completely not be true.
Yeah.
Where they were like, well, we can't use George Carlin archival footage because that would be like a clear law-breaking right. endeavor.
Yeah.
So they had a guy do an impression of him to do the voice model.
Okay.
And then it turned out that, or at least they're alleging mm-hmm. after the fact, that they didn't actually use AI to generate the special, that someone just wrote it. That's okay. That feels a bit like covering their asses, but yeah. They basically just, at worst, they ChatGPT'd a George Carlin thing and then
yeah.
used like a text-to-speech thing, which has existed like for years and years. Yes. Like, yeah, it's a fraud. It's a big, goofy fraud.
Yeah, AI in general.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Twin Peaks.
Come up.
We're talking, of course, about season 2, episode, what is this, like 19 or something?
It is episode 19.
Variations on Relations. Ugh. Nice rhyming title.
Yeah.
Good.
It is good.
What does the title refer to?
I have no idea.
Me neither. So we pick up kind of where we left off. We're back at the Owl Cave.
Yes.
Andy says, you take a few steps in here, you can't tell if it's daytime or nighttime. And
it's true. Like,
too right, Andy.
Yeah,
too right. Spot on.
Did you like this episode?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah. I like this episode, honestly, minus the Wyndham Earl stuff.
Of course. Wyndham Earl is a drag. However, I do like the final shot of the giant chess piece. As stupid as it is.
It's so stupid.
It's really dumb. But I just like, I think I just like how, I like the makeup on the corpse there.
Yeah. I mean, it's all very stupid.
It's stupid, but it's like, it at least is like, it's got the like weird sort of like David Lynch, like floodlighting sure. on it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's stupid. It's dumb. Big paper mache chess piece.
And his whole character, too.
Yeah,
like some, like, doofy roadie or something.
What's so, I feel like that is, like, a costume, like a Wyndham Earl costume.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, like, yeah. He's like, all right, put this on.
Yeah. He's basically dressed as, like, one of the guys who gets put in the cage in Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah. Like, what's his name? Ice?
Ice, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other guy?
Yeah. There's a real rash of burnout schizoids, getting trapped by mad villains back then.
Yeah.
They were just sitting ducks.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
Yeah.
Gizmo's being extremely cute.
More of a laying seal.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you gotta lick in those toes.
All right. All right. Okay.
Focus.
Owl Cave.
Owl Cave. So they go back to where they found... those markings, and it's like, oh, looks like somebody already did our work for us. They were gonna break it open and whatever, but it's already, when we left off last, Wyndham Earl had already done that.
Yes.
There's
like a full petroglyph now that we're seeing.
Yes.
What's a petroglyph?
I don't know.
It's just like a glyph.
It's a glyph.
Glyph to his friends.
So. Cooper tells Andy to, you know, take a marking of it, and we're going to have to recreate this back at the station so we can look at it and whatever. In the meantime, right, there's that scene at the Double R where we see Bobby talking to Shelley. We haven't seen Bobby in a while, right?
Bobby had another idea. It took a few days.
Yeah. I think the last time we saw Bobby was in... Ben the Horn's Civil office. War reenactment yeah, yeah, yeah. That, when he came out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that didn't pan out for him.
I guess not.
Like, he got fired once Ben Horn.
Yeah. Once he, like, regained his sanity. Yeah. He's like, wait
a second.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't possibly have hired you.
Yeah. So now his get rich quick scheme is to have Shelley enter the beauty pageant and right. win the beauty pageant.
Yes. He's like, beautiful people get whatever they want. And he's like, Shelly, you're beautiful. And it is fun. Shelly's like, I'm a diner waitress. Like I, and then like later on when they're, the girls are like all signing up and entering the contest or whatever, she is like, I don't know if I could do this and all this.
So
stuff.
Funny.
It is funny. I'm like, oh, it's
yeah,
funny
geez.
To see the most beautiful woman on earth be so self unaware, you know?
Yeah, I do like this trajectory of Bobby where he like has increasingly little faith in his own ability to make money.
Yes.
Right. He charges in and he tries to like, you know, commandeer the situation. Then the second scheme of like, you know, getting the job also doesn't work out. And in all of these, he needs other people to.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
It's so Bobby in the overall arcing of everything in the series, I feel like has one of the more satisfying arcs.
Yeah. Which did you funny. Mean to say sadder? Was that a slip? A Freudian slip?
It was a slip.
Yeah.
It's Saturday.
Nice. Good save. You, I think, have mentioned like he's going to get humbled pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty
definitely.
Nice humbling.
Well, yeah, in the way that we all get humbled.
Yeah, great.
When you're young, you're like, yeah, fuck everything. I'm going to take this world and I'm going to put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
And then you get older and you're like, oh, God.
Turn out your pockets. There's a freaking moth flies out.
Yeah.
He's eating the pocket. Oh, crap.
Should be noted, too, that we are having two black cups of coffee here.
That's true. That's true.
I'll take a sip right now. Dan is taking bong rips.
No, I was doing the, you ever see Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid?
Yeah.
You know, he's making the Java and it takes him like 3 minutes to shake the bag of coffee into the pot.
Yeah.
It's taking tiny little sips.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So Bobby, right, he's trying to convince Shelley to join the beauty pageant. And then she goes back to work. We see Cooper come in and talk to Annie, who the two of them just have googly eyes for each other. It's very cute. And Cooper's like, Annie, I've got hungry officers outside. I need donuts and black coffee. And she's like, all right. And then he's like, I wanted to ask you if you would like to accompany me on a
nature walk.
Yeah, nature walk. And she's like, I would like that this afternoon, right? So, very cute.
Did you notice that the donuts were Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes, I did.
That was very strange to me.
It was very strange.
Really pulled me out of things.
Yeah.
Where
the hell are they getting Dunkin' Donuts from in Twin Peaks?
Yeah, well, I was wondering, like, did Dunkin' Donuts used to be, like, a wholesaler? Like, as a diner, could you just, like, have your donuts supplied by the Double D?
But they used to make...
Double D at the Double R?
They used to make the donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. They weren't like...
Right, it used to be time to make the donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't just like shipped there and like warmed up or whatever the fuck it is now.
This is a mystery unto itself.
Yeah.
Forget about these petroglyphs. I need to know where these donuts... Oh, maybe it's a cream corn situation.
It could be.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. It could be a cream corn situation.
I still don't really know what the cream corn means, but yeah. I'm about to find out
soon. While Cooper's standing there, Bobby says something else to Shelley and walks out, and she recites a bit of a poem, and Cooper, like, his eyes widen and kind of goes white. He's like, where did you hear that? And he's like, and Shelley's like, oh, somebody sent me an anonymous poem, to me, Audrey and Donna.
The way she recounts this bizarre thing, like, it's just like, well, when you're the prettiest girls in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, you get anonymous poems.
Yeah, you get anonymous poems.
And he's like, do you have this on you? And she hands him the piece of
her
piece.
In fact, I do. I guess it was only like a day ago, right?
Yeah. So he's, you know, kind of distraught about this. Annie brings the coffee and donuts, and Cooper's about to walk out, and she's like, so later on this afternoon, he's like, I'll pick you up here, 4:00 sharp, right?
Yeah.
Back at the station, they, you know, Cooper and Truman and Hawk, they're talking about the poem and pieces of the poem or whatever. Hawk comes in, brings, I think, Donna's piece of the poem. Audrey is in Seattle, right? Yes. This episode.
Yeah.
So she's not around.
Yeah, correction on last week. I thought she went to Alaska.
Yeah,
she
didn't
go to Alaska. Nah. She just went to Seattle.
She went to Seattle, the Alaska of Washington.
Many are saying this.
Yeah.
More and more you're hearing it.
I mean, so many scrambled eggs and toss salad. And
a lot of anal play in Seattle.
So they're talking about the poem, and Truman's like, how do you know this? And he's like, it's a poem that I wrote to the girl that he was in love with.
Wyndham Earl's wife. Yeah.
Yeah. And he wrote the fucking Wyndham poem.
Girl.
Yes. Wyndham Girl.
I believe her name was Wyndham Girl.
Yes.
Alternately, Wind Her Earl.
Yep. So, you know, he's like, Wyndham Earl, he's playing with us, right? And he's all this stuff.
He's also kind of like, Wyndham Earl, I don't understand what he's doing anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
He's like, things are getting out of hand. He also notes that the handwriting is not Wyndham Earl's.
Yeah.
And he realizes, he says, go pull me,
Leo Johnson's
yeah. file.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a quick handwriting analysis, which we all, of course, know is fake. It is not a real thing you can do.
You can't do that?
No, it's one of the many fake sciences that police use to put people in prison for years and years.
I mean, it definitely feels like something that you can't base a whole case on or anything yeah. like that. But I thought that there was some validity to it. Maybe not.
I think, like, just visually, you can be like, that's the same handwriting. But I think when they're like,
ends up like
the nature of the strokes.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah. Like, my only sort of reference to it in reality is Robert Durst. And did you watch The Jinx? I know we talked about it.
No.
But, like, there's a moment where, you know, he writes down something. And there was a letter after he murdered somebody. He wrote a letter to the police saying, like, cadaver at this address, right? And it's in the exact same handwriting.
Yeah.
And he's like, and that's when he starts getting the murder burps and his body starts actively, you know, confessing.
He burps up a big bubble, like in Poor Things, and when it pops, it says, I did it.
Yeah.
I killed those girls.
So Wyndham Earl, right? We get a scene of him in his little log cabin there, playing his fucking flute and, like, pontificating to Ted Raimi, who's, again, dressed like a roadie.
Yeah, he's wearing a Spirit Halloween biker costume.
Yeah, it's like a bandana and, like, long black hair wig.
You know what he looks exactly like is he looks like Tim Robinson in the I Think You Should Leave sketch,
the
where
motorcycle.
It's like, whoa, motorcycle,
yeah, yeah, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. You're right.
Big motorcycle.
Whoa, two
yeah.
motorcycles.
Yeah. It's that same, like, goatee where the edges are, like, coming unglued.
Yeah. Right. The goatee is so bad in this. It's like, it's almost like a, what's it called? What is it? The soul patch.
Yeah,
right.
Like a long soul patch.
Long soul patch, yeah. Right. And that the character is awful. I mean,
you didn't like this?
Oh, God, it's so bad. Ted Raimi is just like, He's really, like, playing into, like, I'm just a fucking idiot. Like, come on, dude. You said that there was going to be a party here and there was going to be beer. Where's the party?
It really is, like, is beneath this show what's happening
it
here.
It feels, yes.
To be like, you tricked an adult into.
Yes.
Like, if they're going to sell that, they should have had a another biker costume on a mannequin to
sure.
indicate that Wyndham Earl was dressed like this at one point.
Yes.
Or have him still be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Wyndham Earl is talking about, you know, the White Lodge and the Black Lodge and how he intends to find the Black Lodge, right?
Because the Black Lodge contains power.
It does.
Untold power.
Untold powers.
Whereas the White Lodge, this also, look, obviously, like, Black Lodge, White Lodge, we're doing, like, a, there's, like, a binary system here, right? Good and evil. We're drawing very clear lines.
Yeah.
But to have Windham Earle be like, the White Lodge, where everything's nice. Ooh, I hate that. I hate how nice it is there.
Well, yes. But I think part of that is his misunderstanding of the lodges in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when it was a few episodes ago when Hawk is talking about
the
Black Lodge.
He talks about the Black Lodge as a place where your soul gets annihilated. If you're not, like, strong of spirit.
Yes. Yeah. Where everybody goes.
Yes.
It's basically a pathway to the White Lodge. Mm. And you have to go there. And if you're not strong of spirit, then your soul is annihilated.
Yeah. Crap, that's scary shit.
Hell yeah, it is.
I better
work on that spirit, baby.
Go to Soul Gym, yeah. Soul Cycle, I guess.
Soul Cycle. So, yeah, Windham Earle, he is very interested in finding out about the Black Lodge, you know, finding it. At the police station, they bring in Major Briggs. Love to see him. We get a bit of, like, back and forth between Major Briggs and Cooper, where Cooper's like, you know, I need you to tell me everything on file about Windham Earle's involvement in Project Blue Book, which is the government's look into UFOs and whatnot. And Major Briggs is just, it's so good in here. He's like, well, my security clearance was revoked after I was abducted and whatnot. And Cooper's like, I understand. Would you still be able to get those files? And he's like, well, it's not a matter of whether I can or can't. It's more of a moral issue. But if you have these files, would it prevent further loss of life? And Cooper's like, most definitely.
Yeah.
And so Major Briggs is like, I'll do it. And it just, I love when good guys are just like, I'm, Cooper and Major Briggs are these, like, so often you just don't see people who have morals.
Right.
And they're like, these guys are like, well, I could get this information, but it would go against, you know, what I believe in.
Right.
But if it prevents, you know, people being killed, I'll do it. Right.
Very much like John C. Reilly in Magnolia, right?
Helping
frickin' what's his name?
Yeah.
Bill Macy.
Yeah. Check out our Magnolia episode on the Patreon, patreon.com/kingmepod.
Hey, speaking of which, are we near break time? Because I got that pee in me.
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about the Black Lodge and Cooper his date goes.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah, I gotta go to the Yellow Lodge, I'll tell you that.
All right, so if you want to keep listening, go to patreon.com/kingmepod. Sign up for a free trial. You get 7 days free. And then after that, it's $5 a month.
But don't worry about that now. Don't you say, I just want you to hear free, free, free. Don't worry about $5 a month.
You get access to, the rest of the Tuesday episodes, along with every other Friday, we release a bonus episode, as well as all of the back catalog, which we've been doing for years now.
That's right. Our Friday bonus episodes right now, we're doing all of David Lynch's features. But if you be signing up,
right, you get to request an episode, a movie for us to
how we ended up discuss. Doing Magnolia,
yeah,
which was a real treat.
It really was. So again, patreon.com/kingmepod, and we'll be right back.
That's my poo and pee.
Yeah.